Journey of Faith Radio with your host, Vicki Petz Henderson, physician, writer, speaker, encourager, and lover of God's Word. My Journey of Faith is a place to inspire, equip, and encourage women in their personal walks with Christ. Here's your host, Vicki Petz Henderson.
Welcome to My Journey of Faith Radio. Thanks for joining me today. I'm excited to introduce my guest, Misty Phillip. Welcome, Misty.
Hi, Vicki. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for joining us. You're from Houston, is that correct?
Yes, I am. Thanks so much for having me on today.
You're welcome. And Misty blogs at By His Grace, and she encourages her readers to seek Jesus, study the Word, and grow in grace. And I love that because really you cannot have one of those things without the other.
That's right. Yeah, the blog is actually mistyphillip.com, and the name of the blog is By His Grace.
Okay, great. And you talk about leaving your corporate job to homeschool your boys. I want you to talk about that. But I love what you say on your website, that your days are filled with loving my husband, raising and educating my boys, studying my Bible, writing and blogging, cooking yummy, healthy meals, honing my hospitality skills, feathering my nest, and gathering with family and friends. And that just sounds to me like a very beautiful rendition of a modern-day Proverbs 31 woman.
Yes, I don't know that I can live up to the Proverbs 31 woman, but I think that's what we all aspire to be. And one time for Mother's Day, a friend of mine gave me a card, and it was the modern-day version of the Proverbs 31 woman, which is, you know, riding in carpool lines and just all of the things that we do today instead of, you know, going off in afar to buy flax and linen. we go to Super Target and Walmart and the grocery store.
Absolutely. And so tell us about that transition from the corporate world to homeschooling.
Absolutely. God called me to homeschooling when my oldest son was 3, and I had no idea what homeschooling was, but God began piercing my heart about it, and I just knew that it was what I was supposed to do. I worked at the time for Enron when it was still a corporation. I was a consultant there, and I had a really great gig because I drove downtown 2 days a week, and I was at home the other 3 days a week. And I made more money than my husband did at the time, which was what's kind of stopped me from pursuing homeschooling, because in my physical mind, I didn't see how things would work out. I approached my husband about homeschooling, and we lived in the house my husband grew up in. And he said the elementary school at the front of our subdivision was good enough for him, and it was good enough for our boys, and he said that we should send him to public school. And so, out of obedience to my husband, because I knew that if I tried to push my agenda, that it wouldn't work. So we sent our son to kindergarten, and my husband just saw changes in my son and changes in his heart, and just kids are not very nice, and I was concerned about my son academically because he was very bright and very far ahead of his peers. And so after that first year in public school, my husband said, why don't we try this homeschooling thing? And that was an adventure of a lifetime. I don't even know that I knew what I was getting myself into, but I'm so glad that we did it.
Probably if we knew what we were getting into with most things in life, we just wouldn't. But I love the way that you waited until the time was right. That makes me think of Queen Esther. You know, she had her request that she made, but then when they asked, she said, well, let's just have another dinner. And you just kind of put that on the back burner and waited till the season was right and waited on his leading. And I think that's beautiful. And that's one of the things you talk about on your blog, is just Christian living and faith and family.
Yes, that's correct. Let me tell you a little bit about my family. That son that I started homeschooling, I homeschooled all the way through. He got a full ride scholarship to Houston Baptist University, and he graduates this May and is getting married in July, which is one of the reasons why I started writing, because after years of homeschooling my kids and being so involved in their lives, I realized I needed something else to do in my spare time Just so that I didn't drive them crazy. My middle son has special needs, and so I write about that and just the challenges of being a special needs homeschooling mom. He's 18, and then my youngest son is a freshman in high school. And so my homeschooling journey is coming to an end, and I started asking God, you know, what does the next chapter of my life look like? Until I'm a grandma, I need to something, you know, to do, and writing and speaking and encouraging women is something that I always long to do.
Well, and you focus a lot on Bible literacy, which I think is so important nowadays. There's so much that we have to be on our guard about, and we really just can't think this about God. We have to know what God says about himself.
Absolutely. I started 20 years ago. I did my first Beth Moore Bible study, and I fell in love. And from there, I did precept studies, which teach you to study the word inductively and let the text interpret the text. And we attend a Bible study class that's called Biblical Literacy. And so I agree, it's really important to know not only what the Bible says, but how to interpret it so that you can apply it to your life.
And I think it's so important. I had a very, very similar story. I started doing Beth Moore studies about 20 years ago, and then I started doing Bible Study Fellowship. And I'm doing a study right now that's by a friend of mine, Jill McSheehy, that wrote a Bible study about journeying through Acts. And that's her passion as well, as biblical literacy. But I think when I was growing up in my generation, that we just kind of read our Bible and we didn't have a clue what we were reading. And it just felt like something we had to check off our Christianity to-do list. And I didn't have any passion for it until I saw the passion that Beth Moore had. And it was contagious.
Absolutely.
And it is spoon-fed sometimes, and sometimes it's not. It depends on which study and which part of the study you're doing. But there's a place for that.
Absolutely. You know, I think that, you know, everybody starts off with baby food, and then we progress from milk to meat, and in studying our Bible, you know, I think it's a progression.
It definitely is. And some of her studies are very, very deep if you do the homework, and that's the key.
Yes.
Is to do the homework.
Yes.
And having that passion for it rather than just doing it out of a sense of duty. So did you grow up in a Christian home, or?
As a matter of fact, you know, God had a calling on my life from a very young age, but my parents, my father was Methodist and my mother was Lutheran. And when they got married, they had a really hard time finding a church. And so most Sundays we didn't go to church. But we had a Bible college in the town that I grew up in, and I used to ride my bike past the Bible college, and I would always engage with these Bible students from the time I was really, really young. And I was invited to a vacation Bible school at 6 years old, and I accepted Jesus into my life. Now, I always believed in Jesus, but I didn't grow up in the church per se. I converted my whole family actually to Catholicism because I went to church with a friend of mine. And so they all converted to Catholicism, but I didn't learn a lot about the word. I learned Bible stories, but it wasn't until I went through a really difficult time in college that I came to the end of myself and knew that there was nothing else but Jesus, and that's when I got serious with my relationship and totally turned my life over to Christ and really started seeking him and his word and reading the word and what that meant to me and how I could apply it.
You know, I think we can all look back at milestones in our life that are spiritual turning points, and sometimes they're big events, like you alluded to, a very difficult time. But sometimes they are something just as simplistic as somebody inviting a six-year-old to Vacation Bible School. And I just want to encourage people, those kinds of things make a difference. And that person that invited you, they may have no idea that you now have a ministry where you speak and you perpetuate Bible literacy and you have a blog and you're writing a book. And And it all started with someone asking a six-year-old to go to Vacation Bible School. And we can all do that. We can all do that kind of ministry.
Absolutely. God has given me some really interesting experiences recently just about ministering to the people who are right in front of you. And the way we walk out our lives and the things we do, they matter. And it can be as simple as inviting somebody to church or just giving them hope or speaking into their life or praying for them. The more I realize the hurting people around me and the needs that are around me, the more opportunity God is giving me to speak into their lives.
And you've had some difficult situations in your life.
Yes, I have.
So do you want to tell us a little bit about what you've gone through?
When I was 9 years old, my brother passed away, and I think that was the biggest, the first thing that happened in my life that was pivotal, and that it changed everything for me, because my family didn't know how to cope, because they didn't have that solid foundation in Christ. They didn't know how to cope with a loss. My mom went into a severe depression. And I was a preteen girl, which is a terrible time to try to figure life out on your own. And that's kind of how it felt. So I didn't really deal with the death of my brother. I kind of stuffed things just so that I could survive. And it led me to a life of sin and rebellion. That's what caught up to me in college. But from there, God blessed me with an incredible husband. I'm married to my best friend. I've been with him for over half of my life, and we have these amazing boys. And but one of the more difficult things that we had to go through early in our married life was we lived next door to my husband's parents. And it was a huge blessing. Most people say, you live next door to your mother-in-law? and I said, yes, she's amazing, because she was truly amazing. But during the time that we lived next door to them, both of my mother-in-law and my father-in-law got brain tumors. And over the course of the next couple of years, my father-in-law fought cancer, and ultimately it took his life. And later, my mother-in-law passed away as well. So, we've experienced a lot of grief in our life. The year before my mother-in-law passed away, my mother had been sick for many, many years, and she passed away. But probably the biggest shock of my life happened when I was pregnant with my eldest son, and when I was 6 months pregnant, my own father passed away, which was just a really difficult thing to not have my father at my wedding, and because my husband and I we sort of did things backwards. We got pregnant and had the baby before we got married, so we have been through quite a lot in our life. And, our faith and trust in Jesus Christ is what has got us through all of the difficulties, because, we can't do anything on our own, but the word says through Christ, we can do all things because it is him who gives us strength.
That is so powerful, because I think when people are struggling and people are suffering, and if you're talking to them about the faithfulness of God and you haven't had those challenges and that season of overcoming, people can't relate to you. It almost takes someone who's been there, who's walked that hard road, that can raise their hand and say, me too. You're right. Going to listen to them better. You're just going to listen. It means so much more if someone extends their hand that says, let me walk this road that I'm already familiar with.
That's right. One time I was praying and crying out to God, just saying, God, why? Because I would hear people's testimonies, and they would have one thing in their testimony that they had overcome rebellion or that they had suffered a loss or that they had experienced cancer. And I asked him, I said, why do I have all of these different things in my life? And that's exactly what he told me, is he said, because you can minister to all kinds of women, because I've experienced infertility. I've experienced bountiful blessings with my children. I almost died when I had a tubal pregnancy. I started hemorrhaging that morning when the doctor went in for exploratory surgery and found out that the baby had attached to the outside of my uterus and right at my tube. And I survived that. And then after that, I had a child who was born with club feet, who we just thought he had club feet. Later, he was diagnosed with autism. But more recently, we have come to get the diagnosis of autoimmune encephalitis. So, you know, I know seasons of, you know, I know I can relate to women who can't have children. I can relate to women who've lost children, because I've lost, not only did I lose the baby that was attached to the outside, the tubal pregnancy, I also have miscarried, so I know what that feels like. And at 40 years old, I delivered a baby with trisomy 18, who ultimately was stillborn and didn't live. So, you know, I can speak to women with lots of different challenges and struggles because I've been there and I know what that's like.
Well, I'm currently in probably the most challenging season of my life, and I'm so thankful that I already have a history with God. I'm 52, and I've been walking with the Lord for a while now, and He has seen me through absolutely everything. And I think it's important to have that foundation beforehand. Had my life absolutely crumbled the way it has in the last year or two, three, beforehand, I just don't know how I would have survived. But I do think back to people who spoke truth into my life all along the way. And so what is it that you have to say to women who are facing death and grief and the loss of a child or the loss of a dream for a child or infertility and all of these cancer diagnoses? I mean, what do you speak to women?
Yeah, I think my life verse, which I try to share with anybody that I can share it with, and it's really simple and we've heard it a million times, but I take it to heart, and that's Proverbs 3:5-6, which is, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. No matter what problems that we face in life, the Bible has the answers for us, and God wants us to trust Him. He wants us to seek Him. He's not afraid of our questions, but He doesn't want us to get stuck on the why. Too many times people say, why would a good God let something like this happen to me? And it's okay for us to question why, but we have to move past that why and trust that He is a sovereign God. And like Jeremiah 29:11 says, that He has given us not only a hope, but a future, and that His plans for us are good, because He loves us and He's faithful. And like you said, He will see us through any trial or struggle that we face.
Absolutely. I love that. I know that one of the things that planted the seed in my heart to do the kind of ministry that I'm able to do now is I practiced medicine for 20 years, and I was a gynecologist, so I only saw women. So what you're talking about is a corneal ectopic, and that is a very serious condition. It's not just like a tubal pregnancy. It's very serious. But I sat on my stool for years and I listened to women with all kinds of problems. And there were times when I wanted to just start out the day saying, Jesus is the answer. Now, what's your question? I mean, it just goes back to that, you know, like whatever you're dealing with, Jesus is the answer. And you find Him through His word. You find Him and you know Him and you know His truth through His word. And I don't care who you are. You cannot just attend church every Sunday and just be raised in a Christian home and know the word. You have to dig in for yourself.
I agree completely. That's one of the things that we have really tried to do with our boys in particular, is not only model it for them you know, we take them to church, we teach them how to pray, we teach them the word, but I've put my boys through extensive apologetics training so that they understand what they believe and why they believe it, because I don't want them to be swept away with the prevailing winds of culture, and I don't want them to just believe what I believe because it's, you know, it's what we believe as their parents. I want them to own their faith. And so that's been a really important part of raising our children, because they have to own it. Because if they leave our home and they don't have their own faith, they can't stand on our faith. So
that is,
I'm glad you brought that up.
That is so true. Well, one of the other things I wanted to ask you about is philanthropy fashion. Tell me what philanthropy fashion is, because I like to shop, and if it's about fashion, I want to know about it.
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad that you asked me about that. You know, that is just a new thing that God is doing in my life, and I am so grateful. Actually, I went to the dentist and saw this really neat store. And the funny thing about that was I was supposed to be at the dentist the month before, and they called me the day before and said, I'm sorry, your appointment's not until next month. And I was like, well, okay, well, that's fine. So I show up to my dentist appointment. I see this really cute store. I've got my boys with me. They're getting their teeth cleaned, and I walk in and I meet Jackie Battles. Well, Jackie Battles was an NFL football player, played for the Titans. I didn't know that's who he was at the time, but my son was wearing a shirt that said football, and he just had a face with this incredible smile, and he radiated Jesus. And they had Christian music playing, and he was so excited to tell me about the store. And so he showed me this wall of t-shirts, and he said, everything on this wall, we donate 100%. It goes into whatever charity or ministry that it represents. And he said, and 10% of all of our profits go back into ministry. And I was like, this is so cool. And then he took me to their prayer chapel. And in the middle of the store, there is a prayer wall. And all of the people that come into the store are encouraged to write prayer notes. And the owners pray for all of the prayer requests. Well, the store is beautiful, and I'm a real visual person, and my background, my degree is actually in fashion merchandising, and I just love the store and wanted to do a blog post on it because I thought any Christian retail business that puts Jesus first, I want to support them, and I want my girlfriends to support them as well. So I contacted the corporate office, and the webmaster sent me some pictures, and we started corresponding. Well, he read my testimony about having a baby with trisomy 18, and it just so happens that he had a baby with trisomy 18, and God really put our stories together, and he asked me if I would start writing for them. So, you know, I told him with my book that I'm working on and homeschooling and a wedding coming up, and I've got a lot going on, but I told him that I would, because I really believe in what they're doing. So I'm writing devotions for them, and their blog is philanthropyfashion.com. And so they sell housewares, they sell the cutest clothes that you've ever seen, and books and gifts and jewelry. And each store is franchise owned, and they're all decorated differently, but there's so much to see and take in that you just walk in and it's just a feast for your eyes. But the heart of what they do is what I really love, because if you go to their website, it says it's all about the prayer. You know, it's not the money they donate. It's not about the cute clothes, but they believe that prayer changes lives.
And they have a prayer wall in their store.
In each store, yes.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
That is really neat. And I also love how, you know, we're doing one thing in a season of life, and then somewhere down the road we're doing something else, and then God ties up all the loose ends. And at the time we can't see it. Like, you know, you have no idea that God's going to use your degree to just, and your dentist appointment to take you in a place where he wants to, like, just make everything happen.
Yes.
And that goes back to that Jeremiah 29:11 verse that he has plans for us. And then I love Jeremiah 29:13, which says, you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that's the lesson for us now, that if we just keep seeking him, he's going to bring his plans in his perfect timing. I met with a woman today who's going to be my assistant, and we were just visiting about how the Lord has prepared her to do what she's going to be doing, just like the Lord has prepared me. And the time had to be absolutely perfect. We could not have made it happen. It had to happen in God's timing. And I think that's so hard when you're in a season of struggling. You can't see how God's going to use this for good. You know, Romans 8:28 says he uses all things for his good purposes. But when you're in that dark place, it's hard to see. And it comes from just trusting. And sometimes you just have to wait.
Absolutely. When we lost our baby who had trisomy 18, you know, the doctors wanted us to abort. And we said no, that our baby was fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God had a purpose and a plan no matter how long he lived. And at his funeral, that is the verse that we just stood on, because God does work all things together for good. And they may not seem good at the time, and we may not see how it's all going to work out, but it when we have our faith and trust in him, he does work it out, and it's for his good, and it's ultimately for our good.
It is, and it's beautiful. And it's funny that you would mention that particular story, because like I said, I just met before I came on to interview. I just met with a woman who's going to be my assistant, and she was telling me about a baby that was supposed to die, and it's actually lived a week so far. And she was just talking about the Lord's plans for that baby's life. And I shared with her a story about a baby that I delivered that all of the specialists and all of the experts said, when you cut the umbilical cord, that baby will die. And she ended up living for 3 months. And her mother said to me at one point, her life changed and touched more lives than my healthy children ever did.
That's right.
And it was a turning point in my life as an obstetrician to see that sanctity of life and to see, like you said, the doctors advised you to have an abortion because it's logical to people that if there's no chance the baby's going to live, why would you put your body through that? And I don't know why. I just know that God has a plan and that every life matters. And if that life ends in stillbirth, or if that life lasts for 1 day or 1 hour or 3 minutes, it matters.
That's right.
And it's life-changing. And sometimes those babies whose lives are so very short and precious change and touch more lives. That pregnancy was probably more transformative for you than your 3 normal pregnancies.
Absolutely. And God used it in other ways as well, because we had a funeral. Like I said, we had a funeral for our son. And I had some friends at the time who said, I don't understand why you're having a funeral. Like, they just didn't get it. And then they came to our funeral and they saw how we responded, and it ministered to them. It broke their heart for babies that they had lost. And afterwards, a friend in particular came up and said, I didn't get it, but after being at your funeral, I get it, because we praised God. You know, it's not the outcome that we wanted, but we praised him because he allowed me to, we were just grateful for the time that we had, the time of being pregnant.
And his life mattered.
It did matter. And my eldest son ended up winning at the Texas Right to Life oratory competition, and which opened the door for me to go into Texas Right to Life and share my story both on the college campus with students, because you know, it's considered a hard case where it's okay to have an abortion, but as a Christian, it's not okay. And so I was able to speak to them. I spoke to several different people within the organization and their summer camps, and that sort of started me on my speaking journey. So, you know, all things do work together.
And God redeems all things.
That's right.
Beautiful. That is so beautiful. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, and thank you for being with me today. I have so enjoyed hearing all the things that you have done and all the things that you're going to do.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Take care.